Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone almost 10 minutes past the hour of 9. Once again, alhamdulillah, through the mercy and the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have once again been blessed with a noble day, the most beautiful day of Friday, the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a day of inspiration for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a day in which we can gain closeness and proximity to Him, a day in which we can adopt and increase in our sunnahs of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and increase in the various forms of ibadat, and most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the little that we try and do on this noble day. Lots to do on this day, increasing in salah. There's a lot of nawafil salah that we can be reading, and very importantly, to keep up the momentum of recital of the Quran. Just out of the month of Ramadan, we should be keeping up with our recital that we have been hopefully doing in the month of Ramadan, and to send durood upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, to make dua for ourselves, for our families, for the people of our country, and for the entire ummah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely certain people, lots of people throughout the world, Muslims especially, are going through very difficult and very trying times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. Being a Friday morning, it is the Sahaba Focus program. In this program, we have Maulana Muhammad Akhu from Darul Ulum Bikasal. Maulana speaks to us on the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Maulana has been covering the lives of many, many Sahaba, and at times even the Sahabiyat, you know, the wives and the daughters and the sisters of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and the amazing lives that they had lived and the zeal that they had for the spread of Islam. We welcome Maulana on the program last week and this week as well. We are very fortunate that Maulana teaches at the Darul Uloom, but the Darul Uloom is not open as yet, so Maulana is free at this time. Therefore, Maulana is coming on live this week as well as Maulana was on last week live as well. So we would like to welcome Maulana onto the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Alhamdulillah, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are well. Your du'as as well, Maulana. How are you keeping?
Allah's mercy, Maulana, all well with the help of Allah.
Jazakumullah khair. Maulana, this week, alhamdulillah, we're going to continue our discussion on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum.
Ji, Maulana. I was thinking of this week, Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, and Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, like a couple.
Alhamdulillah, and not just any couple, this was an amazing couple.
Ji, Maulana, really, I can't just stop reading about them. Actually, among the Sahaba, this is my favorite, you know, this couple, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we can emulate the lives of these great Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we can also have that desire and that zeal to spread the message of Islam.
Ameen, Ya Rab, Ameen, Ya Rab. Jazakallah, Maulana.
Maulana, you can continue.
جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. My respected listeners, my respected mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, really, when we study the lives of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, every time you come across a Sahabi, one would say, this is my favorite, this is my favorite, because every Sahabi is so special. Every Sahabiya is so special, my respected listeners. Allah Ta'ala has, I am so fortunate to have this opportunity to share this, and it inspires me to actually study further the lives of the blessed Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is such a couple we are to discuss. Allah Ta'ala help us to fulfill the haqq of this discussion. Really, our words are too low and too weak even to discuss the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But Allah has given us this amana that we have to try, and Allah is the one that will fulfill the task. This great Sahabiya, her name was Umm Sulaym. She was known by this title of hers. As far as her name is concerned, her name was Ramla or Sahla. These are two opinions in regards to her name. And what was she also known as? Rumaysa and Rumaysa. These were also her names. What's famous in regards to her name was Rumaysa and Rumaysa. But how was she known? She was known with the title, the appellation, Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Let's start with her. She was Umm Sulaym bintu Milhan bin Khalid bin Zayd bin Haram. And formerly she was married to a man by the name of Malik ibn Nadar. Malik ibn Nadar. Malik bin Nadar, it would ring a bell to you, respected listeners, because he was the father of Anas bin Malik. That's why we hear Anas bin Malik. Anas, the son of Malik. Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas's father was Malik bin Nadar. Now when the da'wat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking place in Medina Munawwara, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, in the early Medinan period, even before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah, they were doing the da'wat in Medina Munawwara. Umm Sulaym heard about this. She was affected by the da'wat. She accepted Islam. When she had accepted Islam, her husband Malik was very upset. He comes home raging, shouting at his wife, "How could it be that you accepted Islam? Asabuti, have you become irreligious now? Have you left the religion of your forefathers?" She says, "No, my husband, ma asabutu, walakinni amantu bihadha rajul. I have not become irreligious. I have not become a sabi." If a person accepted Islam, those times they would call them irreligious. But no, now you have left your original religion, that means you have become irreligious. She says, "No, I have become more religious. I have brought iman in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And she was such a woman, like all the sahabiyat, they would not keep deen to themselves. She would teach and she would inspire her child Anas. تُلَقِّنُ ibnaha Anasan. She would say to Anas, "Say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. My son, say ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." From a tender age, she's teaching her little child Anas radiallahu anhu Islam, deen. Malik, when he comes home, he sees the mother teaching the child kalima. He was very, very upset. He shouts at his wife saying, "La tufsidi alayya ibni. Don't destroy my son now. Don't corrupt my son. Why are you corrupting my son?" This wise woman would respond with calmness and eloquence and wisdom. She would say, "Inni la ufsiduhu bal urshiduhu. I am not corrupting your child. I am rightly guiding him." Anyway, in this rage of Malik, there was a journey he had to undertake. He went to Sham, he went to Syria. And en route, he was murdered by some, you know, some highway robbers or some unforeseen circumstance. And then when she received the news of his death, she said that there's no harm. He wanted to stop me from deen, Allah knows best. La jaram. And then Allama al-Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi in his Siru Alam al-Nubala mentions that she says that, "I will not wean off my child until he leaves the chest." So obviously this was the initial stages. That was her understanding at that time. She says, "No, until my child is tired of the chest, I will not wean him off." But she would always teach him kalima. She would always, and she gave special attention to her child. And then she says also, "I will not get married until Anas becomes happy or agrees that I should get married." And Anas says, "Oh my mother, you fulfilled, you know, your responsibilities towards me completely to the best." So she wanted her child to be very happy with this. And she took care of her child, teaching her child the sirat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Islam. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then migrated to Medina Munawwara, Umm Sulaym comes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her child, holding her child in his hand, and she says, "Ya Rasulullah, O Allah's Nabi, hada Unais. This is my little Anas." Anas is Anas. Unais is little Anas. This is how it is in Arabic. This is the scale if you want to make something small out of love and compassion. And the same scale is also used to belittle someone, but not in this context. So Anas and small Anas, beloved Anas is Unais. Tifl is a child. And Tufail. Tufail is a little child, a beloved child. All the scales are put into this scale if you want to make it little out of love and compassion also. "I brought him for you, O my Nabi. I want him to be your khadim. O my Nabi, make dua for him." And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for Anas radiallahu anhu. "O Allah, bless him in his wealth and bless him in his offspring. Allahumma akfir ma lahu wa waladahu." Another report says, "Mubarak lahu fima a'taytahu." O Allah, bless him in that which you have given him. So Allah's Nabi is making dua for this child that was in the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This child was very tender in age, but he was very intelligent. He wasn't baligh at that time. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would guide him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach him. Because he was now in the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accept people in his khidmah to teach them, to guide them, to love them. And like this, they would become inspirational for the rest of their lives through the barakat of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ummu Sulaim took lot of care for her children. And after some time, there was a man by the name of Abu Talha. Abu Talha. His name was Zayd ibn Sahl ibn al-Aswad. Zayd ibn Sahl ibn al-Aswad, ibn Haram, ibn Amr, ibn Zayd. He's from the Khazraj tribe. And he was also a Najjari from the Banu Najjar. He was known as Abu Talha. Like Rumaysa was known as Umm Sulaim, this man was known as Abu Talha. But his name was Zayd ibn Sahl. And he heard that Umm Sulaim doesn't have a husband at this time. So he took the opportunity, because Umm Sulaim was a prominent woman. She was a woman of nobility. So he comes to her door, he knocks the door, and he presents his proposal. He presents his proposal to Umm Sulaim, and she responds to him. She comes to the door and she says that, you know, I cannot marry you. So he says, why? Why wouldn't you be able to marry me? And he's thinking that there was someone, you know, wealthier than him. He was a man of prominence and wealth. Maybe someone else wealthier than I has proposed to you. She says, it's not that at all. But the problem is, I am a Muslim, and you are worshipping idols. How can I marry you, O Abu Talha? So imagine, look at her iman. She needs a husband, but this man is not a Muslim. That's why she cannot marry him. And then the report mentioned so beautifully, she says to him, O Abu Talha, think about it properly. You worship something that some carpenter manufactured and structured. How you expect that to protect you when you are worshipping something made by somebody else? She says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ مُشْرِكًا. I can never accept the proposal of one who ascribes partners to my Allah. أَمَا تَعْلَمْ يَا أَبَا طَلْحَ أَنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ يَنْحَتُهَا عَبْدُ آلِ فُلَانِ وَأَنَّكُمْ لَوْ أَشْعَلْتُمْ فِيهَا نَارًا لَحْتَرَقَتْ وَأَبُو طَلْحَ. Think. This idol that you're worshipping, some carpenter, some slave, some person, some banda has structured, manufactured, made it. And if you kindle a fire into that idol, that wood will be blazed in fire. Now how can you worship that when Allah is the one that made you? Allahu Akbar. My respected listeners, this is amazing. This is something that will tell you and I. It will give us the picture of Sahaba. How Sahaba took every opportunity to give the dawah of deen. How Sahaba took every opportunity to invite to Islam. And look at the wisdom. He wants something. He wants to propose to her. She says to him wisely. That's why we learn, very important in our deen, say the right thing at the right time. Give the correct dawah. Give dawah properly. Sometimes we have people working for us. Obviously, they're going to listen to us. Now, treat them well and nicely, politely give them the message. Use the right words at the right time. As we learn, strike when the iron is hot. Then we'll be able to maneuver it. So in the same way, this is exactly what our great Sahabiya, radiallahu anha, did. She is explaining to him that when the man chops that wood, half is used as firewood, the other half is taken and made into an idol. How can you worship such a thing? How can you deny that Allah who made us, and we worshipping something that we made? And my respected listeners, just explaining to a person politely, sweetly, in this manner, a person will think, okay, we're not being disrespectful, but you made a person's ikram. A person wants something, but nicely you gave a person this message. You're going to let that person start thinking now of what you said. He's going to go to sleep. And for my sisters, she's going to go to sleep and she's going to think, hey, my neighbor, you know, gave me this message. over a cup of tea that she invited me to her home for, and she gave me this message. And it makes sense. The next time, you know, they're going to think of turning to other than Allah, then you explain how Allah is only one. Allah has no partner. No school can function with two principals at the same time. No country can function with two presidents at the same time. Allah is only one. And my respected listeners, just before Ramadan, this Ramadan, there was one youngster in one school that we had a program. This youngster, after the program, he was quite touched. He comes forward, he says, you know, I want to accept Islam. I'm just worried that I'll be forsaking and being disloyal to my deities. So we just explained to him politely, you see, my boy, my son, that Allah is the one that is giving us every breath. Allah is the one that is causing our heart to beat. What about thinking about being disloyal to him in the first place? And this youngster, you know, was touched. That, well, what you mean being disloyal to something that I made or some factory made? But this was politely, not attacking a person. In the correct scenario, correct scene, in the correct, taking the correct opportunity. And this youngster was touched. That Sunday after that Wednesday, he phoned, he says, I want to come to your house right now, I want Islam. So he came, he phoned his father, he accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah, few days after that, his mother phones and says that, you know, what happened? How did my son become Muslim? I want to see you right now. We went there, spoke to the family. You know, the stepfather was there. That, what has my son done now? You know, so I asked one question. Have you found him to be a better individual in these last, you know, few days? She paused and she says, you know, yes, he has become much better, more polite. He hasn't back answered at me. He hasn't been vulgar towards me. And also his teachers, the one Afrikaans teacher said that, you know, your son has become very, very good in these last few days. So then this lady says to me, okay, the stepfather was there also, okay, tell me more about this Islam. So I just told them about the oneness of Allah and the beauty of the oneness of Allah, how Allah is one. This lady herself says to me at the end, this wasn't my word, she says that, you know, how long I'm worshipping these idols and they have not done anything for us. And then after that, this lady is impressed and she wants to become a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, the same youngster, he, tomorrow now, actually today they're leaving in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they're going for 10 days in Allah Ta'ala's path. So, just using wisdom, Allah is the one that gives hidayat at the right time, with the correct tone, politely, lovingly, sweetly with ikram. Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha teaches us this lesson. She gives him this dawat, and then she says, oh Abu Talha, and if you accept Islam, I don't even want much from you as far as world is concerned. I don't even want much dowry from you. And he left that home touched towards Islam, affected greatly. One report says, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I see Abu Talha and the brightness of Islam is already shining from between his eyes, meaning on his forehead. And after that, Abu Talha got married to Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anhuma, and they became what a perfect couple. And their mahar is very, very famous. That she didn't ask for anything as far as mahar is concerned. She wanted her husband's Islam and so forth. This is the beauty of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they put Allah's deen forward. Allah's deen was priority. And this couple lived a beautiful life together. Closeness, understanding. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very close. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very often visit them. Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha was very, very generous. She had one tree. She had given it as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would always bring gifts and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one beautiful report in the Hayatul Sahaba, in the last volume, under the volume of the miracles and Allah's help with the Sahaba radiallahu anha. There's an amazing incident where Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha, Anas radiallahu anha reports that his mother Ummu Sulaym says, we had this one sheep and she took the butter and put it into a container, and she made it into, she made butter from the milk. And she sent it to one servant of hers, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take this container of butter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can use it as a condiment with his roti, with his bread. So she brings it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives this gift. You know, and then he says, okay, he takes the container and he says to someone from his family that now remove all the butter and put it to our container so we can return the container. The container was emptied and Ummu Sulaym's container was returned to her. Now, the servant of Umm Sulaym returns with the container to Umm Sulaym. But Umm Sulaym at that time was not in her home. So she hung it, you know, onto one pedestal there in the house. And when Umm Sulaym returns, she finds the container there in the house, brimming with butter. So she was upset. She says to her servant, Rabiba, didn't I tell you to take this container as a gift to Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rabiba says, oh, yes, yes, I have done for Umm Sulaym. I've given it to him. I don't know how I see this container filled like this. It wasn't like this when I brought it. Umm Sulaym was worried. Maybe Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts her gift. She rushes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, I sent Rabiba to you with this container of butter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, yes, she brought it. O Nabi of Allah, by Allah, when I came home, I find this container brimming with butter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umm Sulaym, Ya Umm Sulaym, ata'jabina an kana Allahu, ata'jabina an kana Allahu at'amaki kama at'amti nabiyahu. Are you astonished that Allah has fed you like you fed his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? O Umm Sulaym, eat from there, partake from there, kuli wa at'imi. And then she says, I went home and I put that butter into another container, and for almost 2 months we were using that butter. There was so much of barakat in that butter. My respected listeners, we learn many lessons from this. One is to make ikram, how she would make ikram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learn, we make ikram of the people of deen. We make ikram, especially our respected mothers too. There's a jamaat in our masjid. We should endeavor, we should strive to feed those jamaats, because they are coming out in Allah's path to teach the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mankind. There's an alim. We must want to also cook and send. And also we learn another lesson, that we will get barakah from this. And also Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned the container. So we learn to also return the container. And Allah ta'ala blessed that container. There was something inside there. There was more barakah inside there. So we learn also to put something back in, and also make ikram also. Not only receive ikram, but keep ikram. Like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the one that gave most ikram. And there were many, many incidents like this in the life of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so close to this family that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and visit them very often. And sometimes Umm Sulaym was not there, and sometimes the family was there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and say, Anas, come, I'm making salah for you all in the house. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make salah, and the whole family, Umm Sulaym's family, would perform salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On many occasions this would happen. And on many occasions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha's house, and he would rest. She would put for him one leather mat, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rest from there. One occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up, and he sees Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha accumulating the perspiration emanating from his Mubarak body. Emanating from his Mubarak body, and Umm Sulaym is putting it into container. Putting it into a container. Allah's Nabi gets up and says, oh, Umm Sulaym, what are you doing? She says, oh, my Nabi, this is the best perfume. We keep it for our children, and we use it on special occasions. Allahu Akbar. She would use this blessed perspiration from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the perfume, and on special occasions. Allahu Akbar. Some Hudi rahmatullah alayhi mentions in his kitab, Wafa'ul Wafa, that when Anas radiallahu anhu passed away also, he gave wasiyah, that from that container of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, Hanut, perfume must be taken from that container which is of the perspiration of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that must be used for him also when he passed. This was the adab that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ishaq ibn Rahawi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that inna hadhihi ra'iha kanat ra'iha tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min ghayri tib. This was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's natural fragrance. Not that he had applied perfume, that's why it smells like that. It was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's natural fragrance. This was the mu'jiza and a miracle of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his perspiration was perfect and pure and fragrant. Allah give us tawfiq also to have special love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the break, inshallah, we will continue with the life of this blessed family.
وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. 23 minutes left to the hour of 10. Alhamdulillah, we welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning. We continue the discussion now. Maulana Muhammad Aku from Darul Uloom Newcastle, Maulana, is speaking to us on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Two Sahaba particularly today, a couple, husband and wife, Hazrat Umm Salim radiallahu ta'ala anha and her husband Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Maulana, you are back on the line with us. Maulana Muhammad. Okay, we'll ask our engineer to get Maulana back on the line with us. And in the meantime, while we are waiting for Maulana to come back on the line with us, we'll ask our engineer to play for us a beautiful nasheed, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We do have Maulana Muhammad Aku back on the line with us. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh, Maulana. Maulana, our apologies. I think a small technical glitch there. But anyway, good to have you back. And Maulana, you can continue the discussion.
Jazakallah, Maulana. So my respected listeners, this was this couple, this was the family, Abu Talha and Umm Sulaim. They supported each other so much, and they supported the cause of deen together. There was a certain occasion that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a guest. And the guest of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one had actually had the affordability at that time to take this guest home. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, who would take this guest home? Abu Talha said, I would take the guest home. He takes the guest home, my respected listeners, and he speaks to his wife. He says to her that this is what has happened, the guest of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you have anything? She said, I had a little bit of food for the children. So he says, no, let the children sleep and present the food, but off the light. The food is presented. Abu Talha is sitting in front of the guest, and the guest is eating. Abu Talha is making as though he is eating. But the guest of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must eat till his stomach is full. And that's why on this occasion, the next day after Fajr, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Abu Talha that this verse of the Quran was revealed. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلُوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. That amongst my ummah, my sahaba, they are those who prefer others over themselves, even though their need is intense and severe. There was many occasions like this, where Abu Talha and Umm Sulaim would make ikram. There was one occasion that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns home. Abu Talha returns home and he says to his wife that I noticed hunger in the voice of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What can we do? So she had some food. She had some dough. She made some roti, and she took one scarf of hers, and she wrapped up the roti inside there, and she gave it to Anas. So Anas radiallahu anhu comes now to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Anas, and says, Abu Talha sent you. I said yes. So Allah's Nabi said to the entire congregation who was with him there in the ta'aleem, in the masjid, that come, let's go, come with me. Everyone went along, and Anas says, I was in front of them until I came to Abu Talha and I told him. So Abu Talha says to Umm Sulaim, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought all the Sahaba in the masjid, and we don't have enough food to feed them. So she says, Allah knows best, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows best. Abu Talha rushed quickly. He came to welcome Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umm Sulaim, whatever you have, bring it here. She brought the roti. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded, and the roti was actually crumbled up, and from that one container they had some butter, and they mixed the roti and the butter, and some condiments and some kind of curry was made with the roti and the curry mixed together. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, allow 10 to come in. The 10 came in, they ate until they were satiated, they left. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the next 10 come inside the house, they came in. The third 10, the fourth unit of 10, until approximately 80 people partook of that meal in the house of Abu Talha and Umm Sulaim. Abu Nu'aym mentions after this incident that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then called me, meaning Anas radiallahu anhu, and called Abu Talha and said, come eat. And we also partook of the meal until we were satiated. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, oh Umm Sulaim, look at the food that you presented, how much barakat Allah put. She says, oh Allah's Nabi, if it wasn't the fact that I saw them eating, I would have said that there's nothing diminished from this food. It actually looks more now. This was the barakat Allah Ta'ala gives those who serve Allah Ta'ala's deen and feed for Allah Ta'ala's sake. like Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym. Regarding Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, it was famous about him that he would always fast throughout the year. Besides the days where fasting is prohibited, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu would fast. And he would be with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. Even in the battle of Uhud, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was right beside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a very good archer. And his pull was very powerful. And as he would pull the bow, many a time the bow would break and crack because of the power in the hand of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And if there were a few people going aside, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, okay, just give us your arrows and put it here and split it in front of Abu Talha. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up to see. Abu Talha would say, oh my Nabi, don't look, don't peep out. I don't want any arrow to strike you. Nahri duna nahrik. My neck is in defense of yours. My body part is in defense of yours, oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu's voice in the army is more powerful than an entire army itself. Sawtu Abi Talha fil jaysh khayrun min fi'a. His voice was so powerful in the army. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Talha's voice in the battle, ashaddu ala al-mushrikeena min fi'a, is more severe and more intense upon the mushrikeen than even an entire group. In another report of Hakim, Allah's Nabi said, Abu Talha's voice in the army is more powerful than 1,000 men. So Abu Talha was a great man. As I just said, he fasted all his life, and all his life after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would partake of fast. Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym had a child together by the name of Abu Umair. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very often visit, and he would, you know, be light-hearted with this child. On one occasion, he sees this child upset. Khatir al-Nafs. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Umm Sulaym says, O Nabi of Allah, that his little bird had died, that's why he's upset, and he used to play with this bird. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would play with him and, you know, console him over that. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughayr. Lovingly, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would console him in regards to the bird that he had lost. Regarding this child here, it was one occasion that Abu Talha, one morning he leaves the home. His child was ill. During the interim of the day, while the husband was gone for work, the child had passed away. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she had, you know, made ghusl of the child, and she had kafaned the child. Now when the husband returns, after a long days of work, and also he was fasting, so he asks, how is my child? Now the wife, not wanting to actually mention some challenge, some difficulty on the arrival of the husband, she says that he is more peaceful now than ever before. So in terms of wisdom, she actually didn't want to worry him after a day of worry. This is also a great lesson for us, my respected listeners. He spent an entire day of work, difficulty. He comes home. As soon as the husband barges in or comes in, he is not barged and presented with difficulties of the home. First, he is comforted and welcomed. She presents the food to him, and he spends some time with her. He was in communion with his wife. There was some relation. And in that, while he was lighthearted and comfortable, she says to him, oh my husband, if a certain people loaned their certain item to us, we borrowed it from them, and now after the month is up, it's time for us to return their goods. Do we have to return it? Is it so? He says, of course, it belongs to them. We just borrowed it from them. They just loaned it to us. So she says, in the same way, our child was amanat from Allah, and Allah took him back. Abu Talha was shocked. And he was more shocked at the akhlaq of his wife. And when he went for Fajr, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for them. Barakallahu lakuma fi laylatikuma. Oh Abu Talha, may Allah bless you too, you and your wife, in your night. And Anas radiallahu anhu says that my mother was then, she was pregnant with her child Abdullah, the son of Abu Talha. And that child was born. When that child was born, my mother sent me with that child to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took ajwa, and he chewed on it, and he put it, you know, in the mouth of this child. I said, on the be of Allah, this is the waladat Umm Sulaymin al-layla. She gave birth to this child, and the child was licking onto that those dates. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, yes, the Ansar love dates. So I said, O Nabi of Allah, give him a name. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, his name is Abdullah. And this came from the barakat of the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma barik lahuma fi laylatihima. O Allah, bless them in their night. Abaya, rahmatullah alayhi, who's a great scholar, who's a rawi of this incident, he says that all the children, this child here had 7 sons, and all his children were ulama and scholars of the Qur'an-i Kareem. Abaya bin Rafi rahmatullah alayhi. He said that that was the barakat of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the barakah of this family. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very close to Umm Sulaym. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for Hajj, he actually asked, مَا لِي أُمِّ سُلَيْمٍ لَمْ تَحُجَّ مَعَنَ الْعَامِ. Umm Sulaym is not coming for Hajj this year. So Umm Sulaym said that my husband has 2 camels, one he is going on Hajj with you, O Nabi of Allah, and the other is used to serve his garden and his farm with water. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, Umratun fi Ramadan tajzika an hajjatin ma'i. That no problem, when Umrah comes, when Ramadan comes, you go for Umrah with your husband, and you make Umrah in Ramadan, you get the reward of Hajj with me. If you make Umrah in Ramadan, you will get the reward of Hajj with me. This was the fadila of Umrah in Ramadan that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha and Abu Talha radiallahu anhum spent their entire life for the deen of Allah ta'ala. They were very close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was on the occasion of Khaybar also. On the occasion of Khaybar, there were 20 sahabiyat also on this journey with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them was Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. And on that occasion, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to Safiya radiallahu anha. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent her to Umm Sulaym. And Umm Sulaym, you take care of my wife Safiya radiallahu anha. And how Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam trusted Umm Sulaym. That Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she made a tent and so forth, and she got Safiya radiallahu anha ready for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to visit Abu Talha, Umm Sulaym, visits the family, and he says to them that after every salah, he says to Umm Sulaym, O Umm Sulaym, after every salah, read Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, Allahu Akbar 10 times. This is a beautiful hadith that every one of us should practice. Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, Allahu Akbar 10 times. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Umm Sulaym, thumma salillaha ma shi'ti. After you read this 10, 10, 10, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, then you can ask Allah for anything. Your every request will be responded to affirmatively. فَإِنَّهُ يُقَالُ لَكِ نَعَمْ نَعَمْ نَعَمْ. Yes, granted, granted, granted. And Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym spent their entire life serving deen like this. Even in regards to Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, even when he was old, his children told him that, Father, you don't need to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. You can stay at home, you will get the sawab when we go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he says, no, I also have to go in the path of Allah. And he read the verse, Infiru khifafan wa thiqalan wa jahidu fi sabilillah bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. Strive in Allah's way, light and heavy. Light and heavy, meaning whether you're young, whether you're old. So he says, Allah has told us all to go, whether we're young, whether we're old. Get me ready, get ready. And his children said, O Father, in Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, you spoke in Allah's path, you made jihad in Allah's path. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's time, Umar radiallahu anhu's time. Now we going, you'll get the thawab. He says, no, Allah says, all have to go, whether young, whether old. And he strove in Allah's path. And on that occasion, they were actually in the path of Allah via the ocean. And he passed away at sea. And they couldn't find any place to bury him in, except after 7 days. And 7 days later, when they were burying him, his body was completely, perfectly intact. This was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Even in regards to Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, her entire life was in serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. Her family was a very, very special family. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would very often, you know, visit her, and he said that her brother gave his life in my cause. Who was the brother of Umm Sulaym? Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha's brother's name was Haram ibn Milhan. Haram ibn Milhan. In the 4th year after Hijrah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba to a certain region. called Bi'r-e Ma'una. There were 70 Sahaba sent there to teach deen. They were sent there to teach deen because there was a request from the people there. So these 70 Sahaba go there, and Haram ibn Milhan takes the letter of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to present it to the leader of that area, Amr bin Tufail. Now this man, as he was listening to the letter of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Haram radiallahu anhu is presenting the letter and giving the da'wat of the deen, this leader, who is very, very treacherous, he sends one of his men to stab this great Sahabi while he was giving the da'wat. Whom? Haram radiallahu anhu. So he sends his man, Jabbar bin Abi Salma. So Jabbar bin Abi Salma stabs Haram bin Milhan in his back while he's giving the da'wat, and the spear penetrates his back and emanates from the front, from the chest. And blood squirts out from the Sahabi's body while he's giving the da'wat, while he's presenting Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's letter. And he raises his hands, and his hand gets filled with blood, and he looks at the sky and he screams out, Fuztu Rabbil Kaaba, I have succeeded, I have won, I have triumphed by the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba. Imagine the Sahabi is dying in Allah's path and he says, I have won. This man who assassinated him, Jabbar, he goes to the Sahaba where they were camped and he says to them that this man who's there, your messenger, I killed him. But he said he won. How can it be? When I was the one to win, they sat him down, they gave him the da'wat. He accepted Islam. That man who killed a Sahabi became a Sahabi. This was the mercy of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. This was Haram bin Milhan, the brother of Anas radiallahu, the uncle of Anas radiallahu anhu, the brother of Ummu Sulaim and Ummu Haram radiallahu anhum. Ummu Sulaim radiallahu anha's children, among them was Anas radiallahu anhu. And Abu Talha and another son of Malik, and probably Ummu Sulaim as well, was Bara bin Malik, Anas radiallahu anhu's brother. Anas and Bara, they were brothers. It was in one occasion of battle where the two brothers were out in the path of Allah Ta'ala together. And they were sieging this fortress for many, many months. The two brothers, Anas and Abu Talha, they were sieging this fortress for many, many months. And the Persians were actually sending out hooks from the top of the fort. And these hooks were made to blaze in fire, so they were very, very hot, heated. And it would be swung from the top with a chain, and it would penetrate a Muslim's body. And if it would penetrate his body, because of the heat, it would penetrate very easily. So the disbeliever from the top of the fort would lift that Muslim. And this is exactly what happened to Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu on that occasion. This hook, kullab, it penetrated his body, and he was being lifted to the top of this lofty fort. Bara bin Malik, the brother of Anas, spots his brother being raised like that to such an extent. So he rushes. He uses the wall as a springboard, and he pounces from the wall onto that chain. And he maneuvers that hook out of his brother's body. Because if he was to reach the top, he would have passed away. And he rescues his brother's life. But in that, his own hand was roasted. He had no flesh left on his hand. And he grabs his brother and he jumps down. Bara bin Malik saved the life of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu like that. But the ajib part is when Muslims finally did enter, how they entered that fort of Hormuzan was quite an ajib incident in history also. But at the end, that same man who killed Bara bin Malik in that battle, Anas radiallahu anhu intercedes for him in Medina. Allah give us tawfiq, sometime we'll explain that incident, how Anas bin Malik intercedes for him. And the same disbeliever accepts Islam because a Sahabi is interceding for me when I had killed his brother in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu. This was the ikram of Sahaba, the selflessness of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, through whom deen reached the four corners of the world. May Allah Ta'ala give us some glimpse and some barakat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and may Allah forgive us through them. Let's make special three quls for Ummu Sulaim, Abu Talha, Anas, Bara, and all the Haram, and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا
جزاك الله مولانا for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and indeed it is a very, very inspiring story. Okay, I think مولانا is dropped the line there. Alhamdulillah, we have learned a very, very beautiful incident of this couple, Hazrat Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, her husband, Hazrat Abu Talha, their children, Hazrat Anas bin Malik, Hazrat Bara bin Malik, and the entire family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that family the best of rewards, their zeal, and their desire to bring people into the fold of Islam. Alhamdulillah, today we are reciters of the Kalima, today we are Muslims because of the sacrifices of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the selflessness in presenting Islam to the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we can spread the message of Islam as well. With that, we terminate this program. Next up will be the bulletin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.